Okay, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky, the podcast that is rocking not just the world, but the universe. And there have been some dramatic developments since I last presented to you the man in the studio with me today, young Jake Hawley. Jake, welcome to the studio again.
Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Welcome to Planet Porky.
If you don't mind, could I have my official title, please, which is
what's that?
Academy Award nominee.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, because your official title is Student to the Porkmeister. You know that, don't you? Right? That's your official title. But let the audience know that there is an organisation called the Radio Academy. They issue awards called the Arias. You know, these are, I don't think it's unfair to say, these are the Oscars of the radio world in this country. And I'm delighted, people, to share with you the fact that Jake has been nominated in the category of, is it Best New Presenter or Best Presenter?
No, Best New Presenter.
New Presenter, that's great. Tell us a bit about what you've done to deserve this nomination, apart from the fact, of course, that you've been working with me and I've improved you 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. As I understand, the Radio Academy are big fans of Planet Porky. They've visited this fair planet. It's for the piece of serious journalism that I do.
Yeah.
On BBC Sound.
And what is all that about?
So it's called Jacob Hawley on Drugs.
Yep. It doesn't mean like when you do it, you're on drugs.
No.
It doesn't mean that.
Absolutely clean. So
it's Jacob Hawley talking about drugs, yeah?
Yeah. So it's sort of like a combination of clips of stand-up that I do on the subject, and we sort of interview people.
Very good.
So we did the first sort of few episodes of that last year.
Yeah.
We're going to be releasing new ones in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, cool. I'm very pleased for you.
Thank you, mate. As you quite rightly say,
you know, without the Planet Porky behind you, you would be nowhere nothing.
I like to think I've learned from you. I like to think I've taken your cues.
Excellent. Well, I'm delighted about that. Thanks very much indeed. Now, listen, we'll keep tags on that. When's the awards night?
It's March the 4th.
March the 4th, that's right. I've had radio awards in the past. We used to go to these dinners, and I mean, it just becomes a drunken mess, you know, before the awards even happen.
Is everyone doing that, or is that just your table?
No, everybody's table. I've worked with Talksport for years. Ours was always the most libidinous table, if you see what I mean, you know. Well, I mean, we had more booze, you know, than the rest of the floor put together.
Well, one of the people that I'm up against for this award is Simon Jordan.
Oh, yes, I know Simon so well.
Simon's a great guy. Is he really?
Simon's a great guy, honestly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'll tell you a lovely story about Simon, because you're right, he now does a show with Danny Kelly on Talk Sport. And the show started with Danny leading the show, because Danny's a great presenter, very experienced presenter. Simon came in, and now it's kind of the balance of power's kind of shifted. And it's now called Simon's Show, and he deserves it. He's a thoroughly intuitive and informative presenter. He knows all about the inside of football. He used to own, of course, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And he was a very successful businessman, Simon.
Was he phones for you?
No, he wasn't phones for you. That's somebody called John whatever, you know, who's a billionaire. Well, I don't...
Phone warehouse, something like that?
No, he wasn't even that. He did it retailing phones rather than developing them and manufacturing them in retail shops and all that kind of stuff. But he made an awful lot of money. I think it was bought out for about 75 million quid.
Yeah.
And he spent 50 million of that on Crystal Palace, you know. Yeah. And he is a great guy. But I don't know if you know the history between Simon and I, but I got banned from Crystal Palace once because, he was chairman, right?
Yeah.
And what happened was, Alan Brazil and I were invited along to the end of season dinner, right?
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, to give the speech and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I have to say that TalkSport listeners have heard this story several times, but it always raises a laugh. And what happened was, we were on the top table, and Al gave a speech, then I had to give a speech, and Al had talked about football, because Al's a former international footballer, and I thought, I'll liven this up a bit.
So what did you talk about?
I wrote this song about Simon, you see, knowing that Simon had made his fortune in phones, and I'll sing you the song now, because people love it.
Please.
It went like this. Well, when Simon's on his own, he makes love to telephones. He's as eager as a beaver when he's shagging a receiver, did you? And the whole room erupted, you know.
You went to Crystal Palace and sang a song about how Simon Jordan shagged phones.
Yes, I did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How did that go down with Simon? Did you enjoy that?
Well, he was in Spain. This is the whole point of the story. And what they'd done is they put a marquee on the pitch because it was end of season. It was all over. Didn't need the pitch. So it was a huge gathering of people, you know. Anyway, within about 3 minutes, these two blokes turn up in these leather overcoats, leather gloves. You know, I'm not joking.
Are you going to the back of the van?
Well, it was even better. Your presence is required in the boardroom. What? Oh, we thought, this is good, you know, we get the special treatment now, you know, champagne and all that, you know.
Yeah.
So it made the long walk up to the boardroom, because as I say, it was from pitch level. Yeah. And we go in there, and Simon's brother, Damien, is in there, who's vice chairman of the club. And he said, I'm not joking, it was like a scene from The Godfather, honestly, you know. And you know, with his leather gloves on, he was banging the table, you know, you come into my brother's house. You know, what do you mean your brother's house? Freaking football stadium, you know. You come out of this house, you insult my brother. I said, oh, come off it, Damien. You're having a bit of a laugh and a shout, you know.
And having a laugh and a shout, is, as you pointed out to me, the absolute point of our lives.
Yeah, exactly, quite right. So as I'm talking to Damien, Al just walks right behind him, because all the drinks cabinets were behind Damien in the boardroom, and just opened the cabinet, took himself a bottle of champagne.
Right, so he's already bladdered up.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. And Damien said, what do you think you're doing? How dare you? I haven't offered you a drink in my brother's house. And Al just said, listen, son, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you, but pick your window, because you're going out of one very, very soon, unless you shut your F and gob, you know. And then it all became a complete fiasco, because Damien then thought, oh, maybe I've gone over the top and all that. Then the bodyguards came in and said, oh, is everything all right? And Damien said, yeah, it's all right. I'm just giving the lads a drink. And then they gave us a lift home. They got a car for us and gave us a lift home.
gave us a lift home, a polite way of saying they took us out and made us leave.
No, seriously. We had a few drinks with them and they said, we'll get your car home.
Yeah.
And they got car. They got Al's car back into the city, got me a car down to Stockbroker Boat where I live. But the... But Simon, of course, wasn't there that night. He only had heard reports from other people. So it was a couple of years went by until I walked into TalkSport one day, bang, slap into Simon. It was quite late at night. I was going in there for a last show at about 9 o'clock or something like that. Mm. And it was one of those moments, you know, and we just both laughed and shook hands. And it's been great.
He was all right with it in the end.
Oh, he was absolutely fine. He always has been fine. But you're absolutely right. He's a great broadcaster. Well, I wish you the best of luck in trying to pull that one off, mate, because... you've got a lot of other busy things on at the moment. So what's Falaraki?
So that's the show that I did at the Edinburgh Fringe last year. You might remember.
You came
and visited. I don't think you made the show.
I didn't make the show, mate. I had better things to do, with the greatest respect, you know.
You were frolicking around Edinburgh.
I certainly was.
I told this story before, how I tried to get you to come to one of the shows.
That's right.
You didn't have time. You were too busy. You had to go to bed.
I checked
Twitter.
That's right.
And rather than being in bed, you're frolicking around a beer garden chatting up women.
A load of fans found me. A load of women who were there. It wasn't a hen party, but it was a load of women who all come together, you know.
Porky fans.
Oh, it's Porky, it was the Porky fan club,
Scotland, so they got the bus.
Yeah, but I was heading back to the hotel because I had an early getaway the next day, I couldn't get away from them.
Of course, it's an hour of stand-up that I did in Edinburgh. I'm going to be doing it in a few venues around the country, but in March 2nd to the 4th, I'm going to be doing it at Soho Theatre.
Excellent, that's great. Well, I wish you all the best of luck with that as well.
Cheers, Mike.
And just a bit of looking forward news, folks. You might even find... young Jake and myself on a stage in London sometime soon, but we're putting the finishing touches to that presentation. Now, Jake, I've got to talk to you about, the story that's dominated the headlines both in this country and around the world. It's much more your generation than mine.
What's that?
What is your immediate and purposeful reaction to the Meghan and Harry situation? Either about Meghan or about Harry. Come on.
Before we get into this, do you really think this is the most important story?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Why?
Well,
bushfires in Australia.
And I've been campaigning. I don't know if you know. I've been campaigning. And we'll come on to that later. A billion animals gone now. And what the bloody hell has anybody in this country done to help? Absolutely squared F all.
Right, so come on.
Yeah, so
the point I was trying to make is
I don't think it's an important story.
I don't think it's that important.
What, the royalty that's been going for 2 millennia and you don't think it's important?
Well, I think there are more important things going on in the world.
Like what?
Right? Well, give me one moment. I'll tell you what I think.
Oh, you've got to look at your phone to find out what's important in the world.
I've made notes about this, Mike.
See, this is how empty-headed you juice heads are.
Juice heads?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Donald Trump being impeached.
Yes. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be impeached.
Prince Andrew almost outed as a sex offender.
Yeah, but that's all come and gone.
Or it's not come and gone. It's all been forgotten. Because you will know, right, this term in politics, putting a dead cat on the table. You know what that means?
Dead cat bounce.
Dead cat bounce. Right, exactly. You put something else out to distract people from more important things. Yeah. Do you not think that's the case with this rubbish?
No, because it's happened. Oh, he suddenly issues a statement saying, I want to leave the royal family. Whose fault do you think it is? Do you think it's Harry's fault? Do you think it's the royal family's fault? Or do you think it's Meghan's fault?
What do you mean fault?
Because they are transferred away from the royal family
in a way that,
well, nobody else has ever done it. Since old, Edward and George in the 30s pre-war, and it's rocking the royal family. Now,
how's it rocking them?
They are a very privileged family. They get tons and tons of money from us. Yeah. All they've got to do is obey the rules and go and open...
obey the rules.
That's right. Go and open a school in Dulwich, on a rainy Thursday morning in November and go back to Frogmore Cottage, the multi-million pound house they live in.
And he doesn't want to do that anymore.
Well, she doesn't want to do it, apparently.
She's got better things to do.
Well, she shouldn't have married Prince Harry.
She's a Hollywood actor. Like,
she was a B-list Hollywood actress.
B-list Hollywood? That's still pretty good.
Well, it's not bad. She got about $350,000 for her series called, was it called Steps or something?
I don't know either.
Whereas the best in the business, those girls in Sex and the City and all that, get... No.
Have you not got a more contemporary reference than Sex and the City? Well, it hasn't been on television in nearly 20 years.
Oh, hasn't it? Oh, I didn't know that. I never watched it anyway. Well, whatever it is. But they get like $1 million an episode. You see what I mean? So she's way down the old scale. Way down the scale. But anyway, so she comes over here, right? And she thinks, oh, this would be great, be a princess. And then when she gets in the royal family, what people don't understand, Jake, is that the royal family is like the army. Everybody's got a rank.
It's not like the
army. It is like the army.
It's not, the army is that's national service. That is serving, that is risking your life.
Yeah.
For your country, it's one of the bravest things you can do.
I totally agree.
Well, as you've put yourself, the royals, as you say, go and open a school in Dulwich on a Thursday, then go back to $1 million cottage.
Yes, they do. I meant in hierarchy terms. There's, like in the army, you've got the colonel, the general, the captain, and all that. Well,
that's KFC, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, in the royal family, you've got the Queen, who's the absolute ruler. Then you've got Charles, who's very, very important on a day-to-day basis. Then you've got William, because they're all heirs to the throne. And then Harry's way down. Harry's below William's children. Now, what happened was, she gets into the royal family. She thinks, this will be fantastic, walking along, having my picture taken at Windsor Castle on Christmas Day. And in fact, what happens is, she's told, oh, no, you walk three paces behind. And she's saying, what are you talking about? I'm Meghan. And they say, I don't care who you are. You're in the royal family. You walk three paces behind. Oh, Harry, I can't stand this anymore. I'm being bullied.
Where has this come from?
This has come from my knowledge. Yeah, I know about this.
It's come from your imagination.
No. Hey, listen, you won't remember. You won't know this because I haven't told you before.
Because it's occurred in your head.
At the age of 15, right, I was a kind of, genius. I went to the King's School, Chester.
Yeah.
And I took the British Constitution O-level at 15 and got a top grade in it. So I know all about the British Constitution. How about that? You know nothing.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, look, so my view is, so now she said, oh, I don't like home your schools in Dulwich, Harry. I want to go back to see my friends. That's right, yeah.
Mike, you've written a little play about the woman.
No,
none of this has happened.
No,
you've imagined all of this.
So she says, I think we should go back to North America. And where would you like to go, Meghan?
I'd like to go to Vancouver Island. My friend's got an £11 million house and I want to stay there.
Okay, Meghan, let's do that. And then they go over there. They come back, say, we're leaving the royal family.
Oh, I'm going back to Canada. She flits
she
off again.
She lives in America.
No, she's gone back to Canada because what Harry doesn't understand is, Harry thinks, well, I think it'd be a very good idea to live in Canada. What he doesn't understand is, because he's too thick, Harry,
he's not the
brightest boy in the world, is that the reason Vancouver's very good at the moment is it is literally just over the border from America, and then you've got Seattle, and then you go down the coast, and you've got LA, which is where she really wants to go. Now, do you think that's the way somebody who marries into the royal family should behave? Because I don't.
It's not none of it's happened. What? You've written a little play
about
her.
No.
That's true. Look.
But what is true then? You don't know what's true.
No, none of us
You don't
true.
Apply yourself, you
it's
see.
It's not about applying myself. I'm. It's none of my business. I don't know them. I don't know who they are. Mm. Like, I imagine, right, she met him, fell in love with him, all this stuff about him being a royal, you know, going around opening schools in Dulwich.
Well, she told all her friends in LA, I'm going to marry a real-life prince.
How do you know that?
Because that's what she does. I'm going to marry a real-life prince. Hey, and guess what? My old fella, my old man, he's a big fat slob. And he's not coming to the wedding because I don't want him there. He's too ugly. He looks a bit like Porky Perry. Big fat face with whiskers. Yeah. So...
Jesus.
So I'm telling you, man, that's the way it's happened.
That's what's happened.
And it could be a crisis in the royal family. I say, let them go and be individual, private, you know, people if they want, but we don't give them any more money. They don't want any more money. Where do you think they get the money from? They get their money from Prince Charles.
He specifically said he wants to be financially independent.
Oh, and how's he going to do that? Is he going to become a dustman, eh, in Vancouver?
I'm a dustman. Yeah. I'm sure there's stuff he can do.
I mean, what?
I don't know. Maybe he'll start a podcast. Something. I don't know what he'll do. But
maybe hire himself out as a mercenary general. I fought in Afghanistan, so I know what it's all about.
He doesn't even talk. Yeah. Look, do you know what I will say? Yeah. I've seen interviews with him recently where the specific wording that he said in this interview was, if you knew what I knew, you would leave that family as well. I think it's to do with his mum. Well, I think he knows something about what happened with his mum.
No, I know all about what happened to his mum.
No, okay.
I released to the world the news that she died, as you know. I did. I released
you guessed,
the news.
You guessed what happened and you got lucky.
No. Don't be so insulting to one of the titans of the written word in journalism, okay? I knew what happened. My view is, right, this is my final word, and then we'll talk about something else.
Okay.
That marriage will be over within 3 years. The pressure of Harry having to choose between his wife and the royal family...
But he chose his wife.
Will, for the time being... But you don't think he's going to live in Canada for the rest of his life, do you? Or LA? He won't.
Why not?
No, because he won't.
He'd rather live in Windsor.
No, because he'll find out very soon that the vacuous and empty life that you lead as a parasite in California...
As a parasite in California.
Most people in California are mad.
Right,
yeah.
She's a professional actor in California.
Yeah.
How does that make her more of a parasite than living in Windsor and, as you say, just taking money off the public?
Because...
How is she more of a parasite than the royal family?
If you remember the royal family in this country, you have a sustainable role. If you're in LA just cashing in on being a royal princess,
then she's doing the opposite of that. She says she doesn't want to be a royal princess. She wants to just be an actor.
She wants to be in the limelight all the time. I'm telling you, that marriage will have gone in 3 years. Okay, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky. I'm delighted to say I'm with Jake the Bake today, a man who's recently been ennobled in the honours list because he's been nominated for a prize or an award.
I have to say about these awards, before we go on, I didn't know what they were until yesterday. I'd never heard of them before.
You have a big awards dinner and then people get the awards. Have you ever heard of a guy called John Gaunt?
No.
Right, John Gaunt is a fairly well-known and outspoken podcaster these days.
Oh, okay.
But he used to be a broadcaster. He used to be a radio broadcaster.
Yeah.
And he worked at TalkSport with me.
Right, okay.
And the way John got there was we all went to these awards. They used to be called the Sonys. They were, for years, they were sponsored by Sony.
The
Arius Awards that you're talking about now, that you've been nominated for.
Used to
be called the Sony Awards, for years.
I heard of them when they were called the Sonys.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then they disappeared for a couple of years because the sponsorship went. Now they appear to have come back with the Arias. But incredibly prestigious to be on a list. I'm telling you, you've done very well.
Thanks, man.
And that's not a problem. But anyway, we go to this dinner and we're all expecting to win something. It was the early days of TalkSport. We couldn't win. Honestly, we couldn't have won the sack race if we had a sack and nobody else did. You know what I mean?
Why couldn't you win?
We were all over the place because...
drinking.
It was erratic.
Turning up at Crystal Palace and singing songs about Simon Jordan and having sex with telephones.
Yeah, a bit of that. So it was all very erratic and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't have any funding and we didn't know the game. We didn't know anybody in the business. You've got to know people within the business. I mean, people who, you know, are supporting you and who promote you and all that. Mm. They have contacts and all that kind of stuff. And that's the way that you have to lobby for your own people, you know. That's the way you get better and better. But anyway, the point of the story is, we're all sitting there, you know, wondering why we're not getting all these awards. And then all of a sudden, some bloke from Three Counties Radio which is the three counties are something like Hertfordshire,
Cambridge.
Something like that, around there, just north London, you know what I mean? And this fat guy comes up on the stage, his name's John Gaunt, you know, and he swaggers onto the stage and he gets Best Presenter Award, you know, and he goes off again. I wonder what that was about. And then...
wonder what that was about.
Yeah, yeah.
He won the award.
Yeah, well, he won an award, yeah. Well, we wondered what he'd won it for. And then, you know, next one was, you know, Best Political Story winner, John Gaunt. And this fat guy with the glasses wanders up on the stage again, you know.
One again.
And he's already got his Sony in one hand. And he comes up, gets the other, and starts waving him around.
Yeah, yeah.
5 minutes later, you know, and the Outstanding Contribution to Journalism Award, John Gaunt from Three Counties.
He's won a lot.
He's got, you know, a handful of trophies. So he was only working for local BBC. And by the way, if John's listening, John, I hope you're doing well these days, mate. New career now as a podcaster.
Yeah, you called him fat three times. Yeah,
funny enough, he's a lot slimmer now. Funny enough, he went on a diet. He went on one of those sort of Tom Watson diets. Tom Watson, the politician, who slimmed down because of diabetes, which, of course, I've got, but I fight it bravely.
What do you mean you fight it bravely? By refusing to lose weight?
No. You have to fight it bravely. Cut down the alcohol intake, you know. No more digestive biscuits. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, mate.
Stick to fish and chips.
Yeah, for sure. Pizza, yeah, that's all right. So then John comes running over to our table and says, "You want to employ me?" I mean, literally, you know.
With his trophies in his hand.
Yes, yeah, his trophies in his hand, because he's only working for local BBC. Yeah. And so what he was trying to do was, and, you know, it's a trick we'd all play, in front of, like, the BBC, because, you know, half of it's BBC anyway, they're such a huge organisation, you know. So he was trying to make it clear that he wanted to go up in the world and thought, well, you know, I'm going to talk to Talk Sports. So he was trying to get himself elevated at the BBC, which I don't blame him for, it's a normal tactic.
Get a rival
Anyway, whatever happened, we suddenly offered him a deal and he came and worked for us. And he was popular, without a shadow of a doubt. He's very outspoken. But, you know, there's a very thin line between getting it right and getting it wrong in your business and in broadcasting.
Absolutely.
And certainly in anything live.
We tread that line carefully on the Planet Porky
podcast. We certainly do.
Try and stay on the right side of things.
Indeed. In live communication, you've got to be very careful. Now, the great thing about us doing these podcasts is we're not necessarily regulated by an organisation called Ofcom, OK?
No.
But they regulate the broadcasting radio business. And in a moment of madness, John just one time was interviewing somebody who was going to ban children from being adopted by people who smoked. And he got really het up about it, and he used the word Nazi. And...
what?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
No, I'm true.
Hang on. In his position of working for TalkSport.
Yeah.
Why were TalkSport interviewing someone who wants to ban smokers adopting children?
Well, because the mid-morning show in those days was a news and current affairs show, not a sports show. Do you see what I mean?
So they spoke to someone who wanted to ban smokers from adopting children.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What a strange campaign.
Well,
he turned around and said, if you want to do that, you're a Nazi.
He did. What he meant to say was, you're a health Nazi, because he said it's not good for the children's health to live in a house where people are smoking.
Yeah.
But he kind of forgot the word health, I'm afraid.
And
the word Nazi came out, and it was a terrible shame, because then there was an investigation, a suspension, all that, and you know, I feel quite sorry for John, because his career never really picked up after. He was doing a column in a national newspaper at the time. I mean, everything was going well for him.
Would you extend the hand of friendship to John now?
I've never fallen out with him.
Would you have him onto Planet Porky?
Well, I think he's got a lot to offer, and I haven't got a problem with John whatsoever.
Send out a rocket, see if he wants
We could, you know, might send a rocket over and drop a parachute note, you know, into his his backyard or something.
To a man who calls people.
well, he did. I mean, that's the truth of the matter, you know, simple as it was. And I think, you know, things turned a bit harsh for him. But anyway, the point of the story is that all came from a Sony Awards dinner, which is the one you're going to.
Which I'm going to, and I was going to ask you about this. Do you reckon Simon Jordan will go?
I think so,
Do you think he will, or do you think it'll be a bit small time for him?
No, not at all. You've got to remember, Simon's been very successful in many areas of his life.
Yeah.
He's also done things like funded successful films, Hollywood films. He's funded successful bands, you know, groups, rock and rollers, all that kind of stuff.
Do you think he remembers your song?
I don't think he ever heard it, you see. Because
really?
He wasn't there, he was in Spain.
Maybe I'll sing up to him and sing
I'll sing it to him. Yeah, so it goes down.
If I win the award, I'll sing it on stage.
You should. You should indeed. But yeah, I should think he'll be there because this is yet another new challenge for him. And
he's doing well with it, isn't he, on TalkSport?
Of course he is, yeah.
I'm obviously an Arsenal fan. We played Crystal Palace last week.
Yeah,
we staggered to a 1-1 draw.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, saw that. Yeah,
things a bit mixed on Merseyside for you. Not quite magic again.
Well, we've played under Ancelotti. We've played 5 Premier League games and won 4 of them. How about that?
We won 4 of them.
Yeah, we lost the Liverpool one, which was an embarrassment, right?
That was the cup, though.
That was the cup, and it was embarrassing because Liverpool had a younger team. But we've scraped through. We beat Chelsea convincingly.
That was under Duncan Ferguson.
Just under Ancelotti himself. We've had 4 Premier League wins and 1 defeat.
So, you're happy with how it's going?
Very happy with that. When he first came, I was a little bit dubious. I thought he's too big for the club and he won't treat it properly.
Who would you have wanted?
I would have gone for somebody like Sean Dyche or Eddie Howe or something like
that. Would you have taken David Moyes back?
Yes, I would have done, yeah. But I wasn't thinking big enough. And I'm glad to say that I think Mr. Mashiri has thought bigger than me. And now I see next season as a new dawn. But just getting back to those Sony Awards, right? Yeah, the other thing I was going to tell you was about Simon was that he also, do you remember, had his £150,000 watch
stolen.
Taken off him by a mugger.
Yeah, well, it was a mugger on a motorbike, wasn't it? They pulled up next to his car.
That's right.
And I think he was driving his dad to hospital at the time.
His dad was in the passenger seat.
Yeah,
I think he just picked him up. I think he just picked him up from hospital.
Right. Yeah.
The guy pointed a gun at him. Imagine that. That's the most terrifying thing. Give us your watch. And it was £150,000. Now, you know, of course, I was carjacked, don't you, by 2 moped muggers?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. This story's been told before, but it needs telling again.
Let's hear it.
I was doing a late show with a colleague, and it finished at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I got out, got into my super duper Merc, 2-door, 3-litre sports
the
version.
Portmobile.
And on that night, driving down in such a flash car, nearly led me into disaster because as I got near home, I didn't realise I was being followed by 2 guys on a moped, right?
Two of them on separate mopeds?
No, on the same bike.
One, right,
So what happens is I pull into my driveway and then I go down the drive and I go round the corner at the bottom and then I go round another corner down a slope to where the door opens to my underground car park, okay?
Bloody hell, it's flash, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Oh, so, yeah. And you've got a clicker thing to open the gate. So the gate opens up. Yeah. So I go in, and as I go in, then I have to do like a 3-point turn to back into my space.
Yeah.
And while the door's coming down, right, all of a sudden somebody from the outside has tried to grab the door from the outside.
Oh, so they can get in.
So they can get in. And I thought, that's a bit odd, you know. It never occurred to me that...
it's a bit odd.
Yeah. So, yeah, well...
It's more than a bit odd. Someone's followed you home and they're trying to...
Yeah, but I didn't know they'd follow me home, did I? For all I knew, this could be another resident coming home late.
It's 4 or 5 in the morning.
It's about 4:45 in the morning.
Right, yeah.
So, So
I see these fingers wrapped
That's right. But what he'd done is then he unbalanced the door because he only grabbed one side and it was coming down. So it stopped. So I got out of my car and I said, what are you doing? What are you up to? And the guy said, awfully sorry, new resident, haven't got my pass.
Okay, yeah.
And I said, okay. So I bashed up the other side, pressed a button, the door went up. And there was this kid standing there, you know. And I said, what flat do you live in then? And he said, I'm not sure, mate, because when he moved in today, my mate... Oh, I see. And by that time, the other guy had flashed in on his bike, right? Mm. So I thought, this is not looking good.
Spider senses.
And so I went and got back in my car.
You got back in the car, yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure whether they were there to do damage or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got back in my car and I locked the doors, obviously. And then I made out that I was making a phone call, although I wasn't, because I thought, I can't really ring the police because I haven't got evidence these guys are up to no good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is 5 o'clock in the morning and they're riding around on... But to be honest, there hadn't been a lot of publicity about moped crime then. This is a good 18 months ago.
Nowadays, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, but this was at the start of it. So, they just sat on their bike with the engine running, right?
Mm.
And then eventually they pushed off because you can open the gate from the inside. They pushed off, you know, but the gate stayed up. They clicked it to make it stay up,
right?
So, and they did deliberately, because once they got outside, they turned around. They're waiting for me to get out the car and go and click the gate down, which is what I did. Then they roared back in. And then they both jumped off the bike, you know, and started punching me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
When was this? 18 months ago?
About 18 months ago, yeah.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, you bastard, give us your key and all that, you know. And I rolled up into a ball. Yeah, they kicked my glasses off my face
Jesus
and everything.
Jesus Christ,
yeah,
mate, this yeah. is horrible.
I know. Well, it's even more horrible, but I'll tell you what happened in a minute. So, anyway, I rolled up into a ball and I started kicking out with my feet. You
nice.
Know,
yeah.
These kids were only about 18 or 19. I'm not joking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was no way of getting off me. And then I completely confused them, Jake. Fortunately, you're a bright lad, but these two weren't bright. And as they were kicking me, give us the key, give us the key. I said, there is no effing key, you stupid. What? I said, there is no key. It's a keyless car. And they looked at each other, you know, hey? I said, there is no key. What? And they couldn't make it out, you know. So then I'd got up by then,
right.
and I went for them, you know.
Are you attacked?
Yeah, yeah, I did, yeah.
The Butlins boxing champion.
I did,
went
I did.
On the front foot.
I did go on the front foot.
That's what we like to hear, go on.
And I barged into the kid yeah. and knocked his bike over.
Yeah.
So he started panicking. He picked yeah. his bike up to see if it would start again, see yeah. if they could get away. And then he said to the one, come on, come on, come on. And he said, I want the bloody car. I said, you're not getting the car. And then I start chasing them. Chase them away.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But let me tell you this. I then called the cops, right? The cops yeah. were very good. They came within about 20 minutes, right? And they said, you had a very lucky escape. And I said, why? They said, we'd already had the report of the moped being stolen about 3 miles away at 10 o'clock that evening. And the guy they stole it from was threatened with a pickaxe.
What?
With a pickaxe hammer, honestly.
So they must have dropped this pickaxe hammer before they came after you.
I've no idea. I've no idea.
And that is fortunate.
The cops can't make it out. But the cops from CCTV found out they picked me up 5 miles from my home. What they do is they wait around and spot, you know, flash cars.
Decent
you know what
cars,
I mean?
Yeah, follow
and the cops said, without doubt, this car was being stolen to order. I said, how do you know that? They said, 19-year-old kid driving around in a car like this must have been taking it to a garage, you know, like a lock-up garage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because where else are they going to put it
it? Do you think they might have even kept an eye on you for a while, said we're going to get
could
that
have done.
Car, found a buyer already?
Could have then- done. You could be absolutely
Jesus
right.
Christ.
They could have spotted me coming home two or three nights. Because, funny enough,
yeah.
I was working every night that time that week. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could have been. But anyway, you know, I heroically fought them off. And I think you'll find that as a result, the police changed the way that they dealt with these people. Because I said you should knock the bastards off the bikes. And I'm not joking.
Over.
Yeah, about 3 weeks later, Cressida Dick, the Much Wrong Commissioner, said, oh, we're introducing a new policy of knocking them off their bikes. You know, to go, I think, great. You know, this is it.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely
true.
She
said true. They're going to start running
away. She said you can nudge them off the bikes from the back. That's the only way we can do it. You know, I'm not joking, honestly. But anyway, look, that was just another heroic chapter in my life, Jake. once again, let me say to you, good luck with the award.
Cheers, mate.
I'm sure you'll do it well.
Nice one.
We're in the quite advanced stages of putting a bit of a stage show together.
Yeah, definitely.
From which we'll take a podcast, which will appear on Planet Porky, but this year offers some great options. There's some great things happening, and we will keep the audience on Planet Porky aware of all the developments from now until this time next year.
Yep.
And I have to say, folks, remember, you heard Jake Hawley first on Planet Porky. You might have heard him elsewhere, but this is the most important platform he's been on.
Might have heard me on the shows that I was nominated for awards for, but...
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, don't worry about
that.
Don't worry about that. Nothing like as good as Planet Porky.
And might I add, if you want to come and see me live, yeah. I'll be at the Soho Theatre from the 2nd to the 4th of March.
Is that right?
That's right.
Excellent,
yeah, yeah.
Well done. And the other thing, folks, is put the pressure on Jake so that when he becomes big, when he becomes famous, when he's a Michael McIntyre, he's earning about 10 million a year, remember where it all started, with the Porkmeister. I want a cut of the goods, OK? All right, folks, you have been listening to Planet Porky. Thank you very much for joining us. And we'll be back with you later next week. What happened was, we were on the top table, and Al gave a speech, then I had to give a speech, and Al had talked about football, because Al's a former international footballer, and I thought, I'll liven this up a bit. So
what did you talk about?
Well, I wrote this song about Simon, you see, knowing that Simon had made his fortune in phones, and I'll sing you the song now, because people love it.
Please.
It went like this. Well, when Simon's on his own, he makes love to telephones. He's as eager as a beaver when he's shagging a receiver. Did you? And the whole room erupted, you know.
You went to Crystal Palace and sang a song about how Simon Jordan shags phones.
Yes, I did. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
How did that go down with Simon? Well, did you enjoy that?
Well, he was in Spain. And by the way, John's listening. John, I hope you're doing well these days, mate. New career now as a podcaster.
You called him fat three times. Yeah, well, that's fine.
Funny enough, he's a lot slimmer now. Funny enough, he went on a diet. He went on one of those sort of Tom Watson diets. Tom Watson, the politician, slimmed down because of diabetes, which, of course, I've got, but I fight it bravely.
What do you mean you fight it bravely? By refusing to lose weight?
No. You have to fight it bravely. Put down the alcohol intake, you know. No more digestive biscuits. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, mate.
Stick to fish and chips. Yeah,
for sure. Pizza, yeah, that's all right. Where would you like to go, Megan?
I'd like to go to Vancouver Island. My friend's got an £11 million house, and I want to stay there.
Okay, Megan, let's do that.